And that's it. It's the end of the line for the Boston Celtics as the Brooklyn Nets will advance to round two, a 123-109 victory. And in five games, the Nets will advance at a date with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Welcome back to the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I got my co-host and fellow Nets fan, Charlie, here.
Good day, sir.
What's going on, everybody? We got a lot to talk about, so let's jump straight into it. Today, we're going to be talking about the state of the team, the win against the Celtics. We're going to be talking about the next round against the Bucks, and we got a couple little topics for our wrap-up. What's the working title, Charlie?
The working title for this episode? This playoff episode is Bottlegate. Now, if you're a real Nets fan, I don't have to go into an explanation of what's going on. So I'll leave it at this. My opinion is that you shouldn't be throwing shit at players. You have every right to be pissed. He stepped on the logo. That's kind of disrespectful. As a Nets fan, I love it, and it's pretty awesome. But you shouldn't be throwing shit at people. And that's how you get arrested and banned for life. Do I think it's a little soft that he got such a harsh charge? But someone's got to be made an example of, because this has to stop. So that's my opinion on it. Why don't you just get into the game, and we can talk about these frickin' assholes that we just stomped on.
Yeah, one last thing I want to talk about that is definitely it's fans like that and the fans that have been spitting on players, pouring popcorn on players, that ruin it for everybody. Because the NBA's response to this is going to be that we're not going to be able to get the access that we used to have. They're going to put restrictions on where we sit or some stupid-ass rules that's going to ruin it. So fuck them, and let's just jump into it. We're going to start at game number two, the game that we went to.
Yeah, that was a dope game, man. That was pretty, I mean, listen, we got a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We'll talk about it a little later.
So we got a great experience off that.
The Nets ended up fucking smoking the Celtics game, 130-108. KD put up 28 points on an efficient 8 of 12 from the field and perfect from the three-point line and also from the free throw line. He also had 8 rebounds and 5 assists. And just a really solid performance from KD overall this game. Joe Harris had his playoff career high at 25 points. And we got to the game a little late. And by this time, he already had a couple of threes knocked down. We walked into the game. And he was like, it was towards the end of his like hot streak. He put up, I think, 16 or 17 points by this point. But he finished with 25 points on 9 of 14 from the field and 7 of 10 from 3-point. So Joey Buckets, fire. Absolute fire. Came out. And he had a really good series overall, in my opinion. But James Harden, another efficient night for him with 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 of 12 from the field, and 4 of 8 from 3-point line. Also, again, perfect from free throw. So the Nets, just to get back to the free throws, Kyrie was also 2 for 2. The Nets missed one free throw this game. See, we did 21 free throws out of 22. And getting back to Kyrie, had 15 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. But, man, this was a thorough slacking. From the get-go, the Nets offense came out mainly because of Joey Buckets and was just letting him rip. Jason Tatum had 9 points. So they lit pretty much, like the first game, they limited him to 3 of 12 shooting. He did have to leave this game early because he got poked in the eye and was a little bitch about it.
Yo, you're crazy.
So, Tristan Thompson had a great game for them. He's been destroying us all series. He put up 15 points, 11 rebounds, double-double for him. Kemba Walker had 17 points, a 5-11 shooting. Marcus Smart put up 19 points, 6 of 13 shooting. And then you got Evan Fournier, who had 16 points, and he was 4 of 5 from 3-point. So he was feeling from 3-point line. Other than that, the Celtics didn't have a guy over 10 points. So, Nets did a great job of just stepping on their throat the whole game. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? This was a very tough game for us because Jeff Green ended up tearing a plantar fascia muscle in his foot, and he's questionable for the Bucks series now. What's your main takeaway from this game?
It was crazy, man. Like you pretty much hit on everything with that. I just thought a little couple of things that I saw very, very, very smart by the Nets. They put KD on Kemba Walker a lot of the game. And I just thought that was so smart. You know what? We know that Tatum was, you know, out for a lot of the game. Kemba's going to be the next guy up, right? Or he's going to be the distributor. Why not put one of your better defenders on him? And he made his life a living hell. He did. He was 5'11". And I just thought very, very good basketball IQ by Steve Nash. And another thing that I noticed, Smart and Landry, Shamet. Crazy. But Shamet kind of got knocked around this series. I feel like people were being a little more physical with him, and you kind of saw he was a little timid. Definitely not good for our guy Shamet, who, by the way, if the Nets wind up winning the NBA Finals, I will get it, and he's the Finals MVP. He will be a tattoo on my body. So let's hope that we win, but he's not the Finals MVP.
Where are you going to put it?
Probably under my foot, where it'll be very painful, but I could hide it.
Oof. How pissed would your parents be?
Very. My family would be very upset.
How pissed would your girlfriend be?
Very upset. She might break up with me. So let's hope that does not happen, because I love my girlfriend very much.
You wouldn't do a face tattoo?
Absolutely not.
Oh man, you're all fun.
Yeah, sure. You were gonna do one? Motherfucker.
I didn't make the bet, man. I wasn't stupid enough to even.
Yeah, because you don't got the balls to do it. That's why.
Because I might believe it might happen, and if it happens, then it would be hilarious.
It would be my luck that it would happen. Anyway, enough of this bullshit. Let's get to our next game.
I think the Nets are going to win the title. I just don't think Landry Shamet's going to win MVP.
That's what I'm hoping for. Okay. Game number 3. Man, I made a prediction before. We both made predictions. Well, I'll get into that later, but one of my predictions was that this game was going to be a Nets loss, and I hate myself for being right. The Celtics won 125-119. It kind of felt like a game that the Nets kind of got a little lazy. We kind of felt like we had the series in hand, and the Celtics wanted it more. The Celtics just wanted it more than us. They scored 35 points in the third. A couple points going around. Kyrie had 16 points, 6 of 17 shooting. Everyone was saying he was kind of feeling the Boston crowd, that he got into his head. KD had put up 39. Harden put up 41. Harden also had 10 assists. Still wasn't enough, unfortunately, for the good guys. For the Celtics, the bad guys, of course. We had Tatum putting up a 50 spot with 7 assists and 6 rebounds. Marcus Smart had 23 points, 6 assists. Fournier had 17 points. Tristan Thompson had 19 and 13 rebounds. It was, tough game. Tough game. Nets could have won it. Didn't happen. What are you going to do?
Yeah, they made a nice push late in that game. I thought they actually were going to pull some sort of, half-assed comeback there. But, listen, dude. You can't win a game where you only have two guys showing up. And Harden and KD definitely showed up. But after that, no one else really showed up. Like you said, Kyrie looked like he was feeling it from the crowd. And, man. What are you going to do? The Celtics have Jason Tatum, and he didn't think he was going to shoot as bad as he did the first two games, man. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. It was bound.
He was due.
He was totally due to start heating up. And, he dropped the 50 spot. That's an all-time playoff performance right there. But at the same time, you look forward to the next game, and that's had to make, obviously, a few adjustments to get Tatum, to slow him down a bit, and then definitely limit the other guys. So, I'm just going to move on to game 4 and talk about how the Nets pretty much, again, shellacked the Celtics. And it wasn't really a close game until, I think the third quarter was, they kind of really spread it out there and just started to, take a huge lead. The Nets ended up winning this one 141-126. He ended up with Kevin Durant having 42 points, a 14-20 shooting, 3 of 3 from 3 points, so an all-time KD playoff performance. And, the dude's just been unreal this whole series. He's been showing everything and more. He's shooting so efficiently this series, man. He's been unreal. Joe Harris had 14 points, 4 of 5 from 3. Again, playing a huge factor in this series with his three-point shooting, making sure he's making the most out of every open shot he gets. Kyrie had a revenge game in Boston, so this is the controversial game. This is the Bottlegate game. So Kyrie ended up putting 39 points up, 11 of 24 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3, and 11 rebounds. He just completely torched them. I mean, he was getting anything he wanted from the Celtics defense, and he pretty much embarrassed them. After the game, he stepped on the logo and pretty much disrespected all of Boston in doing so. And people are so offended by it. So enough to throw a freaking water bottle at him, apparently. So good job on Kyrie for becoming the villain and thriving in that role. And I, as a Net fan, kind of appreciate it. I kind of accepted that we're going to be the villains this year, Pete. So another big night, the Nets, James Harden. I don't know if you know who that guy is, but apparently he had a good night again. He had 23 points and 18 assists. So he was one shy away from tying Jason Kidd's all-time playoff assists record. So that would have been something. But again, you'll take it. He was very efficient, 8 of 12 from the field, and 2 of 5 from three-point. So this guy's been as advertised. It looks like he's energized and wanting to win these games and doing anything possible, whether it's passing, scoring. Dude, his defense has been really good this series. He's been playing pretty unreal. Now, let me get into the bad guys. Jason Tatum had a 40 spot. Again, you didn't think he was going to be this cold. So there you go. He's pretty much as advertised in that point. He put up 40 spots, also getting whatever he wants. The big key to this game was limiting Tristan Thompson because he had a big game the game prior. So he only had 5 points and 6 rebounds. So he was pretty much ineffective all night. So they didn't have anyone else to answer for like a big spot. So they had to play small against our small ball. And our small ball is way better than their small ball. So Marcus Smart had 16 points. Evan Fournier had 16 points. But again, 2 of 9 from 3 points from each of them. So they weren't shooting. Other than Jason Tatum, they're all shooting very inefficiently. So yeah, man, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that game? That's pretty much, again, Nets seemed pretty dominant throughout the whole game.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting that the game before you had Claxton coming in, and he kind of looked a little, you know, a little shocked of the Boston crowd. It looked like he was struggling a little bit with a big moment. Rebounded great this game, so that was very big, because with Jeff Green out, we saw the Nets struggle a little bit. You know, we needed Jeff Green the game before. It looks like the Nets kind of corrected everything. They fixed a couple switches up. The defense got a lot more physical. I just thought it was very, very great job by Steve Nash correcting all those little pieces, those little things that could turn a loss into a win and vice versa. Very big game to come back. Boston crowd was even louder. They had a lot more people in. The crowd increased, the COVID, number of attendance was allowed to go up. So big win by the team, and we're up 3-1. And now we're going home. Going to game four. I mean, sorry, what am I saying?
This game particularly, I really thought the Nets did a good job of like creating such difficult shots for the Celtics. I mean, even when Jason Tatum did score, I mean, they had a hand in his face. Like, they really did a good job of contesting shots, in my opinion. They really, even though the Celtics hit their shots, some of them, they really, I think their defense kind of showed they could step it up. Especially, again, when I talk about Harden's defense, man, he's really been very, his IQ is just unreal. That's the way I see it. He's been one of the smartest basketball players I've ever watched.
Definitely. I definitely feel like the Jason Kidd comparison is actually, I think it's on point now. I think it could actually be on point. I thought it was ridiculous. Now I think that it might be on point because this guy is just, he wills his team to wins, whether by scoring, passing, basketball IQ. This guy is amazing. Every episode I feel like I rave about this guy, but I can't help it. The guy's fucking amazing. I feel like, I hate to say it to all these KD fans out here, but like, I don't know who's more important to the Nets right now. Is it KD or is it Harden? I really would not be able to tell you.
Brother, all so important. I can't like stress that enough.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
They all play an important role with making this team successful. Harden is the playmaker. KD is the guy you need to get buckets, and Kyrie is the guy that you need to just be the driving force to keep like stepping on their throats. You know, KD's gonna give you efficiency. Kyrie's gonna give you volume, and Harden's gonna give you playmaking. So that's what you get in these guys. And it's going to be a tough trio to defend. So, you know, I don't know, Pete. I really Harden's more of a Steve Nash than Jason Kidd in that play style, honestly. That's how I see him and Steve Nash as very similar players. Jason Kidd was more of a back down. You know, I didn't run as many pick and rolls as Steve Nash did. And I feel like Harden's game is predominantly pick and roll. And, man, he's done such a good job of just figuring out what to do and the right time to do it. It just seems like everything he decides to do is, like, the right play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I was talking with a coworker about that. He's like, this guy doesn't make any bad plays. And you know what? For the most part, he's making always a sound decision. He's in the right spot at the right time, making the right pass, taking the right shot. It's very rare he takes a bad shot. It's amazing. Anyway, let's get to game five. Finally, we're back home. The Nets gave a beer to fans. It was like an hour before the game started. If you got there before the game started up to a certain point, you got a free beer. Barclays Center was packed. And
it was buy one, get one, though, Pete.
It was buy one, get one? I thought it was free. But anyway.
It was free. It was lit. Buy one, get one.
It was that crowd sounded amazing. I don't know if TNT, was it TNT or ABC, whatever. There was a conspiracy that they lowered the volume on TV, so the crowd sounded a little weak. But you know what? From the videos from inside of the Barclays Center, it sounded loud to me. And the Nets won 123-109, clinching the series, sending the boys, those Boston boys, back to Beantown. Great game all around. Man, it felt so good to clinch a series. The last time I felt this good was when we knocked down Toronto back in the Pierce Garnett days. Harden had 34, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. Of course, another triple-double. He also had 2 blocks and 2 steals. Like I said, the guy does fucking everything. Kyrie had 25 points, 3 assists. KD had 24 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. Man, just a great game all around. Great feels all around. And, you know, these guys get together, it's very, very, very hard to beat. And Boston found that out the hard way. Tatum put up 32 points, 12 of 27 shooting. Marcus Smart added in 14 points, 5 of 17. Nets got especially physical and hard on him. Romeo Langford added in 17. And Fournier added in 18, but overall, just a dominant performance by the Nets in the series.
Hey, man. I know, like, people shit on the Nets for, like, not playing like, a good team, and, like, they're a top team. They should be doing this. This is what Yeah, you know what? You're right. They should be. But, you know, it just goes to show you, like, these guys have only played a few games together, and they turned it up on, it seems like on a dime. Like, they just turned it on. Like, they did a complete 180 from looking like a team didn't really figure it out to someone who's looked like they had, you know, figured out pretty well. I want to just say, man, the defense, again, I want to keep talking about how good the defense looked. James Harden held opponents to 35% shooting. No net other than Kyrie Irving and Blake Griffin allowed over 45% shooting from the field. So basically, besides for 2 players in the Nets on one-on-one defending, everyone in the Nets held the opposing team to under 45% shooting from the field. That seems like solid defensive numbers to me, Pete. I mean, I could throw a bunch of these numbers, like the efficiency in their shooting and all that stuff, like how efficient the Nets shot over 90% from the free throw. They had over 45% from 3, and over 50% from the field as a team this series. So, dude, again, if all things are clicking, they're going to be a tough team to beat. I don't know if you want to say anything else about the series with the Celtics, but I also just want to add that, you know, the Celtics are now in shambles because of us. I'm going to step on Lucky a little bit there. Apparently they fired, or not fired.
He retired.
They probably told Danny Ainge, you better step down because this is unacceptable. And Brad Stevens somehow got a raise.
Very strange. That was very strange.
Very strange, man. You know, it's funny, man. People say the trade with the Nets in 2013 ruined the franchise, the Nets franchise. But I don't know, man. You're looking almost 10 years later. Looks like we got the better end of the ball on that one. Now, I don't want to shit on the Celtics. They have two pretty good pieces from the trade, so they still have players. And when Jaylen Brown gets healthy, they're going to be a force next year still. But, yeah, it's nice to have one up on these guys at least once and, you know, kind of rub it in their face a little bit.
Yeah, we took a lot of shit from Boston fans. Like, you know, yes, Knicks fans always shit on Nets fans, but if there was another team, another franchise that shit on Net fans next, I would pretty much say that it's the Celtics fans. So this felt pretty good. This felt pretty good, I'm not going to lie. You know, everyone talks about the Boston trade. We get shit on. All these things happen. And like you said, you look at the scoreboard, and you would think it'd be the other way around, that the Celtics would have the super team. But instead, it's us. And it feels good to just, you know, finally make it to the next round again. And we got a very tough opponent. We got a very, very tough opponent. Some people are saying that this is kind of like the NBA Finals right now. I don't know how you feel about this, but I definitely think that this is probably going to be the toughest matchup for the Nets all year.
Dude, it's been the toughest matchup in the regular season. Those two Bucks games in May were like nail-biters. You know, the Nets had real chances to win in that game, too, but they didn't have James Harden. They had James Harden in the first game against the Bucks, and they ended up winning that game, but Kyrie didn't play either. So the Nets haven't had the big three against the Bucks. And, you know, James Harden is, in my opinion, a difference maker to what separates the Nets over any other team in the NBA. And that's including the Bucks, obviously. And in my opinion, he's the key. His playmaking ability, his defensive IQ, his ability to hit clutch shots, That's what puts us over the edge. I mean, you know what you're going to get from KD, an efficient scorer. And he's definitely going to make the right plays. You know what you're getting from Kyrie, who's, you know, he might have an off game, you know, here and there. When I say off game, he still probably put up 15 points. And, you know, at least, you know, make some impact. But, man, you know what you're getting with him. He can put up 40 any night, on any given night. Easy. In my opinion, the keys to, like, this series, obviously, is trying to force Giannis into jump shots. That's a big, big factor. And then basically, another thing you could do with this Bucks team that I noticed, like, they also lost Dante DiVincenzo, and that's a huge loss. So their three-point shooting is going to suffer. They didn't shoot well. The big, you know, Holiday and Giannis, if you can force these guys into tough shots, I think we can survive and you know, outscore this Bucks team. What do you think?
Definitely. And you look at the, I'm looking at the scores of the games. The first game, 124 to 118. I'm sorry, that's in May. The last two games, of course, we lost. 124 to 118, one game. Another game, 117 to 114. And in January, 125 to 123 win. All these games, just a matter of points. A couple possessions here and there, turnover, a right bounce. And the Nets could have swept, or the Bucks could have swept. It's very, very two very evenly teams, and I think people would say that this is probably the worst matchup for the Nets, per se, because they have three guys that could match up against our big three. You could put Holiday on Kyrie, you could put, however you want to play it. They got three guys in Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis that could defend our big three. Obviously, with KD and Giannis is going to be the obvious matchup. What do you think? Who's Holiday going to take? Kyrie, Harden, who, like, I guess Middleton is going to take Harden, I guess?
To be honest, man, I don't see it as a matchup versus matchup type thing. Both teams like to do switches. Both teams play a very heavy switch defense. So I think you're just going to see, you know, a lot of switching. And, you know, you want to get when you do switching, you do want to get favorable matchups on guys. However, the whole point of the offense is to get the favorable defensive matchup. So it's just a matter of who switches on defense better. And I think the Nets have been doing it all year, and the Bucks kind of newly integrated the switching defense in the last like couple of months, and it's worked out well for them because of their length. But I do think the Nets are more used to that type of defense, and I think Claxton and Durant are going to be a force on the defense. But in a matter of who's Jrue Holiday going to focus on, honestly, I would probably say Harden.
I think Kyrie.
Yeah, but also at the same time, like, Harden's also, you want to prevent Harden from getting into the paint.
That's a good point as well.
Holiday's probably the best guy to limit it and to get, because he can match his quickness. I don't think Middleton can keep up with Harden's quickness and step. And I think Holiday's the only guy. I think Middleton, I think this is the key to the series for the Nets is Kyrie, in my opinion. He's the it factor. He's going to be the mismatch maker. He can get buckets over anyone. We've seen that. Big, smalls. And you can see KD can get buckets over anyone. But again, I have a feeling Kyrie's going to get more. I think they're going to force the ball to Kyrie more and get him more looks. And it's up to Kyrie to, you know, take advantage and make the right play. And if his three shooting is on, then the rest of his game's going to be on. That's because, you know, he makes teams honest with his shooting.
I think the key for this series is actually going to be Harden. And the reason why I say that is because the game that they did win, I believe Harden was in the game. And I just think this team is just totally different with Harden in the lineup. I think we become a lot easier to defend. Obviously, the team's going to be easier to defend if one of their best players is out. But just the way that he organizes the team, like I said, like I always say, the IQ on offense, I think the key is going to be James Harden, passing the ball and driving. On defense, I think we have to get these guys on jump shots, like you said, with Giannis. Like, you look at their three numbers against Miami, you'd be kind of shocked to see what they shot. You have a guy like Middleton, he shot 12%, 1 of 8, small sample size, but still 1 of 8. I would think that out of your, like, one of your main options that you'd want to see a better shooting. Jrue Holiday, another guy that, you know, you expect him to be one of the main guys on the team on offense, the ball handler. Guess what he shot? 3 of 15, 20% from 3. So we already know Giannis is not the best three-point shooter, so that means you're going to have to get good three-point shooters around him. You know, they had a big loss with that injury with Dante, but he's mostly like a D and 3 guy. He's not going to be taking too many threes. But they need him. That's going to be a huge blow, you know, which is the biggest loss. Jeff Green, who's coming off the bench, but a solid member of the team, getting major minutes, especially that he's a big and the Nets are low on bigs, or one of their starters. What do you think?
More importantly, Jeff Green is a big that can space the floor. That's the most important thing for the Nets, having him be able to space the floor. I don't know, man.
He's not a starter, though.
He might as well be. I think he's going to be in a lot of he would be a lot of closing lineups.
That's fair to say.
So I think that's why he's important. I mean, his three-point ability, and honestly, Blake Griffin hasn't shown that ability to even hit the three. He's taken very few shots, Blake Griffin. I think he understands his role, right? And I think that's what, honestly, I respect him for, because he understands he's like not going to get looks. When he has an open shot, he's going to take it, but he's going to, you know, do everything he can to get the ball to these other guys. And he's shown that role, and he's, you know, played hard. His defense has been iffy in some games.
They've been picking on him. You know that, right? They've been picking on him a lot on defense with the switches. Yeah. That's something to look for as well.
They just try to get him on mismatches, because he's probably one of the only weak links in the Nets. Weak links in the Nets defense.
He might be the weakest link, if you think about it.
I mean, DeAndre Jordan is
is he going to get minutes?
I don't know, man. I honestly think he could prove to be, like, just a different look for these guys, you know? I think that's important, just throwing different looks at these players on the Bucks, like, making them score in different ways as opposed to just giving them the same shit, you know, over and over again. If you see the Nets are just getting bodied, you know, put DeAndre Jordan in there for 5 minutes just to bang with Giannis, tire him out a bit, you know what I mean? And I think that'll prove to be effective later in the rounds. But the thing is, in the playoffs you have to defend. And I think the Nets are going to have a very tough time defending the Bucks. Anyone would. And the Nets just have to basically score more than the Bucks to win this series. And sometimes in the playoffs, you know, a team can go cold. Now, the Nets are very talented with those three big three, so it's very hard to imagine all three of them going cold, and Joe Harris. It's hard to stop all these guys. So we'll see, man. It's going to come down to who scores more. That's pretty much what I think.
I think most basketball games, that's how it works.
Oh, no. You score more than the other team, you win the game. Really?
Exactly. Talking about Dante for a second. He wasn't shooting the lights out, but you know what? He was also one of the best rebounders. Within 23 minutes, he would grab 6.3 boards, and he averaged about 2 assists. Was, like I said, wasn't shooting well. He shot 2 of 12 from 3 and 3 of 16 overall. But from what I've seen from the Bucks and from, like, Bucks fans, major loss for them. And I think he would be the guy that would kind of cover, like, Harris or cover Kyrie if, you know, Middleton or, you know, Holiday went to the bench for a little bit. So, really, I think this is going to be a huge factor is losing him. But I just wish we had Jeff Green back. It hurts so much losing Jeff Green. This feels like a totally a Nets thing that would happen.
Steve Nash said he was, you know, iffy, and he didn't really commit to anything. And they said he'd be reevaluated this Saturday, which is when Game 1 has so...
I don't think he's coming back. I just think that's a gamesmanship thing. You know, you say, oh, you know, he might come back, so then the Bucks have to look at Jeff Green film and waste their time.
I think they should still do it, but still.
Can't come back.
You know, from everything I'm reading about the plantar fascia tear on his foot, a lot of people can play through it. It's just going to be painful and swollen, and he's going to have to fix it at some point. But he can play through it. But at the same time, like, why are you going to make a guy play through pain?
He was in a boot, Charlie. He was in a boot.
You know, if he's in pain and he's going to be not as effective, what's the point? I don't, you know, he's going to have to guard Giannis. And if his foot's bothering him,
I don't think he's going to have to guard Giannis. I think KD is glued to Giannis the entire series.
I mean, Giannis is going to get into the paint, and Jeff Green is going to be there at some point. So, which another thing I want to talk about is another big key to this series is, you know, gang rebounding. Like, making sure you get bodies on the boards, because the Nets are going to definitely need it.
Who's their center?
The Bucks?
Yeah.
I mean, Lopez, right?
Brook Lopez, our old friend. That hurts. That kind of hurts me a little bit.
It kind of hurts seeing him in the other uniform playing us and possibly eliminating us, because I'm really nervous about this series. If I'm any series, it's this series. So, I would love to see Brook Lopez win it, but at the same time...
No, not this year.
Not this year.
Any other year but this year.
Or any year that they play the Nets.
Exactly. I think that's going to be a humongous mismatch for us, because obviously, you know, we have trouble with shooting centers with stretch fives already. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with this. I don't know if he's improved his rebounding. In the Miami series, he averaged 28.5 minutes, about 15.8 points, 6.8 rebounds. But the fact of the matter is, if the Nets aren't using DeAndre, there's a very good chance that Brook Lopez is going to be able to out-rebound, you know, the Nets. Like you said before, we're going to need a gang rebound. That's going to be a big key.
Oh, man, it's going to be an interesting series, that's for sure. We're going to lose a lot of hair.
Yeah, I'm not going to have fun. Like, it's fun, but it's not fun. Because I know that I'm going to be screaming at the TV. I know that we very good chance we lose at least a game. So I'm going to be frustrated about that at some point. And I'm going to, you know, just wind up breaking my TV. Who knows? I don't know, man. I'm happy, but not happy. Excited, but nervous as hell.
Yeah, man, this is a series to worry about. I really do think if we win this series, we have a legitimate chance of winning. And we expected this going through the second seed. You know, us resting guys to not get the first seed, all pushed
back.
That hurt,
man. That really hurt.
Well, the Nets decided, the performance team decided it, the whole coaching staff did. And listen, this organization and, like, how they run things, it's gotten us this far.
I agree. You're right. That's what I always tell you. I agree. It just sucks.
I think we should, yeah, as a fan, it's nerve-wracking, but I think they got a good handle on you know, what they're doing, honestly.
I'd much rather be facing Atlanta right now than the Bucks, that's for sure. And I wish we could have had Philly, you know, and the Bucks battle it out. That would have been a lot more enjoyable for me.
I know, man. It would have been enjoyable for me, too. But listen, the Hawks, man...
not a great matchup for us, but still, I'd much rather have that.
I really like what Trae Young did in New York. He did a good job.
That was fun watching that series. We got something to talk about that too, but that's in the wrap up. So let's end this Bucks talk. What's your prediction?
Serious prediction? I think Nets in six.
I'm going to say Nets in seven because I'm a Nets fan. I want them to win. And I think that there's going to be a lot of moments that I'm going to be, like, going crazy and ripping my hair out and screaming. So I'm going to say Nets in seven. Nets make it to the next round in front of a Barclays Center crowd that goes absolutely nuts. And we wind up facing, you know, the team in Philadelphia for a chance to go to the NBA Finals. That's my prediction.
Joel Embiid's hurt, or the Hawks. Joel Embiid's, you don't know what's going on with him.
I hope that, I never want anybody to be hurt, but if he has to be hurt, I hope that he can't play and that he won't be facing the Hawks, because I want the, I want them to have trouble. I want that to go to seven. So if the Nets do win, we'll have a team that's going to be, you know, a little tired.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I think the Nets will win in six games. I think they'll win one game at the Barclays Center, and they'll split at the Barclays Center. I actually think they'll take both games in Milwaukee. They'll lose at the Barclays Center again, and they'll win again in Milwaukee.
I don't know, man. Let's hope. Let's send good vibes over to the team. Anything else before you get to the wrap-up?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm a little shook from this, because, you know, the whole water bottle crossing my face really shook me up.
Jesus Christ. All right, man, let's get to the wrap up. You want to talk about our game 2 experience, since you kind of got us the hookup?
Yeah, man. Well, we sat next to Mooski, right? That was great. That was a wonderful performance.
The rapper, who I never heard of currently.
And then it was a wonderful game. My favorite part of the game is when James Harden hit that step back three and one, and they got a 4-point play out of it. That was
that I recorded, and you said, let's fucking go.
Yeah, that part. The Barclays Center was bananas, man. I never even game 2 versus Chicago in 2012 wasn't that loud, man. This thing was,
yeah, definitely.
It was rocking, man. Really, really nice. Really nice to be in front of a live audience again. And damn, man, it was pretty crazy experience. After the game, we got to go on a tour of the Big Boy control room. I got a hookup from my friend, and he basically gave us a tour of the control room and gave us a little rundown of everything they did, how things worked. And listen, there's a lot involved with that other side of it, man. You saw, I mean, there's like three rooms dedicated to this stuff. You know, whether it's stats, whether it's, you know, camera control, like, you know, the most mind-blowing fact that I took away from it was, like, these guys have such a hard job. They have to get the replay up on the big board as soon as possible, because Steve Nash uses that to challenge. And
we'll get this, get the stats up and everything, the replays and the stats. So if a guy has a certain number of fouls, Steve Nash needs to know immediately.
Mm-hmm. And there can't be any room for error. And it's kind of crazy. These guys are just important to the game as, almost the players, you know, at the same time. Like, these guys are like the unsung heroes at the Barclays Center. They're, you know, entertaining people. They're doing all that stuff in the control room, and you're doing it behind closed doors. I initially thought there was only like a few people. When I say a few, I mean like maybe 5 to 10. Dude, there was like, how many people were in there? Like 30 at least?
I would say something like that.
And he's got like 60 people plus on the crew. And, man, they do a hell of a job there. I had a great time in the game, and I think they're top-notch at what they do.
I thought that was really, really interesting. A couple of notes that I wanted to talk about. Basically, what they do is kind of how, you know, how we see the in-game entertainment? All of that is scripted. They know, you know, they gave us a script literally in the second time out of the first quarter. This has to happen. Celebrity, you know, the video of the celebrity waving to the crowd is going to happen the second quarter of the third time out. You know, stuff like that. I just thought it was interesting how everything is so scripted to the T, how everything has to fall under the time of the timeouts for the, you know, commercials. You know how there's like 2 minutes commercials if you're watching it on TV. All this stuff has to happen in that 2 minute span. You guys looking up stats, updating the stats. Like you said about the coaching staff, the most interesting thing that I thought he told us about was how the coaching staff, you know, he called it quote-unquote, the new regime, focuses on the scoreboard to get the stats, you know, to the T of the very second, and how, you know, someone on the staff was upset, well, I don't know if it was Steve Nash, that, you know, it wasn't updated at first, that they, you know, it wasn't updated as soon as possible, that they actually had to learn how to, like, get everything in order immediately, so then Steve Nash and the coaching staff could make any changes or decisions, you know, immediately. So a lot going on.
Before the replays went up, they used to have, like, a Nets logo flash through, like, an animation. They had to completely get rid of that and just had to go right into it right after the play happened. And, like, this has to be, like, immediately after the foul happened so Steve Nash can see this. So stuff like that is crazy to me. I mean, you also have another guy doing audio and microphones and PA systems. And
the feed to Yes?
What's up?
The feed, how they have a feed going out to Yes?
Yes, exactly. And Yes is in, like, has its own, like, trucks and cameras. And it's crazy. It's honestly so involved and you don't realize it. And this is, you know, it was a really great experience for us, man. I mean, we had that great picture right in front of the control room with Steve Nash doing his interview. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Also, I'm sorry, I want to cut you off with one thing. The second thing that I thought was the most interesting, if you look at the picture that we had right around the Steve Nash, you know, press conference that was going on at that time, you see a live feed of Secaucus where the NBA officials are looking at, like, each game. So if there's any controversial calls or any, you know, replays that are getting, you know, stuff that getting challenged, they have a live feed to Secaucus seeing all the guys watching the games. So if they need a cut to that feed, they can cut to it immediately. I thought that was so cool, them watching the games and how there's always a feed of them being recorded.
So much involved, man. It was, again, great, very grateful that we were able to do that. And more importantly, go to the game and watch the Nets playoff win.
Yeah, I would have been a little upset to go on that tour if they would have lost. That would have been a little, you know, depressing.
And we got these wonderful pins, too. What did you do with your pin?
It's still laying down somewhere in my room. I have not taken it out of the bag. I'm going to save it. There's a nice little, you know, keepsake of that memory.
I just put it right through my heart.
You're a fucking idiot, Jesus
just
Christ.
Just put it right through my skin. Keep it close to my heart. It's my next playoff good luck pin.
That's fair. I could accept that.
You know, like, people don't wash their socks, you know, for good luck. I got this pin stuck in my chest.
Okay, I think that's the call that we need to move on.
Yeah.
The next topic. The chanting of "We Want Brooklyn" has been being roared across arenas across the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, as I would love to point out, they had their win against the Hawks. It was 1-1 at the time. And all of a sudden, there's chants of "We Want Brooklyn." Following the "We Want Brooklyn" chants, they have gone 0-3, and they got knocked out by the Hawks. Just a fun fact of that I wanted to, you know, to note.
It's funny that they weren't even going to play us for another two rounds if they even made it there and they wanted to play us. It's like, not for nothing. They don't even deserve to be on the same court with us.
You tell them.
That's seriously, fuck them. They spit on Trae Young. You don't do that.
Well, this asshole Knicks, like I say, we have a couple of Knicks fans that are cool. We're not talking about you guys. We're talking about the asshole Knicks fans. They could go, you know, go to hell or some shit.
Fuck those guys. Just kidding. Just kidding. I know there's only one guy, and it was just, you know, one instance, and it was very, very stupid and probably the most disgusting thing ever. And, you know, I can't believe that, you know, that even happened, or you can even think about doing something like that. But, you know, Knicks fans are delusional. We all know this.
They had a good season. Congrats. Now you guys could go play some golf. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You hate to see it, right?
Yeah. It's horrible. And we had Philadelphia saying that they wanted us as well. And right after that, there was an injury to Joel Embiid. I don't know, is there a curse? A "We Want Brooklyn" curse?
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see next series when they play the Hawks. Maybe the Hawks can silence the Philly crowd, too. That's going to be an interesting series for sure, man. I can't wait to watch Trae Young work against that Sixers defense. It's going to be a tough series.
If Embiid is out, I think it will be. If not, then I don't think it's going to be a tough series. I could even see Philadelphia sweeping them without Embiid. I really could. I just think that they're that good.
They do have a lot of good piece players and complementary players. I just think Embiid just separates themselves from not having Embiid takes them away from the top, you know, top contender conversation. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it helps, you know, whoever's playing them immensely. I think that Embiid's their best player. I think that not only is he the best player, but he separates the, you know, Philadelphia from the top of the top and a very, very good.
Agreed. Agreed. So, that's, what, any other final comments for this episode, Pete? I think we covered it all, man. We did,
Oh, there is one thing. I'm sorry to cut you off once again, but there is one thing. I'd like to get my flowers now. We both had predictions about the Celtics series. We both agreed that they would win in five. We were right, but I would just like to say that I was right in calling that the Nets were going to lose the first game in Boston. I hate that I was right, but, you know, I just like to brag when I can, because when I'm wrong, I will also eat shit. You thought they were going to lose game four. You were wrong. So eat shit.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anytime. You were right about the coach of the year and the record last episode. Yeah. So, you know, you got... I'm giving you your flowers for the stuff you got right.
Well, hopefully I win the Bucks series, and then we could at least win one game less. You know, because you predicted seven. I hope they win in six.
I hope they win in four. I hope I am so wrong. You have no idea. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong.
Honestly, man, I could see the Nets sweeping the series too. Really, they could be that good. Just they gotta lock in defensively. They have to figure out ways to limit Giannis, and that's it.
Be physical.
Definitely. That's huge. If you just make this guy work for everything, I think we could really just separate ourselves. Because the Nets are gonna get buckets, and we know this. So if we just limit Giannis as best as possible, I think that's the easier said than done, but we'll see. We'll see what Nash does. I think he's going to throw a lot of different looks at him, that's for sure.
Definitely. Any last thoughts as we move on to the second round?
I don't know, man. I'm going to put my pants.
Listen, I think there's going to be a lot of Nets fans doing the same thing. Also, last little note I wanted to throw in. Our ticket giveaway was awesome. I gave it out. I don't know. I want to shout out this guy's name, but I don't know if he wants to, you know, want us to mention him. But it looks like he's a, you know, diehard Nets fan. He was a college kid, and he was very thankful and very gracious that we gave him the ticket, that his name came out. So I always, you know, I always think that it's nice when someone's humble and whatnot. And the ticket was used on a Nets fan, and he had a great time at the game. So that was always, you know, always a nice little thing for us to give back.
Pay it forward, man. That's what they say, right?
Mm-hmm. He probably was, I know for a fact, he was not going to be able to go to the game. He wasn't going to be able to make it if we didn't give him these tickets. So, like I said, always nice giving a Net fan a chance to go to a game. And, man, I really hope that the Barclays Center has another, like, 12 games in them. You know what I mean? Or whatever. How many games it would take us to get to the finals, because these Net fans are finally, you know, being able to boast. We're finally being able to kind of, like, put out our chest. Seeing the Barclays Center and seeing a crowd of people celebrating the win the last game, game five, you know, after the game ended was just something that Nets fans have not seen in a while, if ever.
Yeah, man, the Brooklyn chants were on point this whole series, that's for sure.
Even just to celebrate the post-game celebrations, instead of hearing, go New York, go New York, go, it was Brooklyn. And you know what? I think that this city is ready to celebrate. And I think they have the team that could make it happen. And it's going to come down to a couple points here or there, some extra work, and some, you know, some just fucking just split out kicking ass.
Hey, man, we'll see. I think we got the talent to kick the shit out of any team in this league, so...
I hope you're right.
We just gotta enjoy it for now, man. And hopefully, next time we have a pod, we'll be, you know, talking about the Nets up by a certain amount of games, or the Nets have won the series already. So, hey, just enjoy it, because we don't know how long it's gonna last. So, let's enjoy the ride while we get there, you know.
I like it. All right, guys, have a great day. Have a great night. Have a good commute. If you're having, if it's the morning, have a great morning. If it's night, have a great night. And, let's go Nets, guys.
I do want to say one more thing real quick. Barclays Center, make your line shorter somehow. Those lines for concessions
Jesus
are
Christ.
Crazy. Just wanted to add that in because we went and, dude, we went, during the halftime, which was, that was obviously a mistake. But if we got on any of those lines, the guy sitting next to us left at the same time. Dude, he didn't get back till late in the third quarter. So, man, the Barclays Center's got to really improve their concession games. I know it's COVID and they have restrictions, but, man, the lines are so long just to get a beer, and it's crazy. They got to fix that. But let's go Nets, right?
You got it.